Guess what we're preaching on? Romans! How did you get? So we're reading from Romans 7 this morning. No longer bound to the law. That sounds good. Sorry, I'm reading from NLT. So you're going to be like, this doesn't match this much. What's going on? But anyways, we'll get through it. It's quite simple anyways. No, now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, do you not know that the law applies only while a person is living? For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our own sinful nature, our sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds. This sounds quite plentiful. Produced the harvest of sinful deeds. Whew. It's true, isn't it? Resulting in death. In spiritual death. We've all been there. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in this new way of living in the Holy Spirit. Is that awesome? Very interesting. So who's ready to die? Apparently, right? Paul is talking about that as long as, you know, you're alive, you're bound to the law. So either you're going to have to die or the law's going to have to die. Till that happens, you're going to have to be together. He's talking about marriage as an analogy here. And was it Terry Virgo? Terry Virgo, book God's Love is Love, he talks about it quite interesting. It's, imagine being married to a husband, who's the law, right? But he's overbearing because he's always right. And you can't argue with him because he's always right. And he's perfect in himself. He's totally perfect. And he is an expert of showing everywhere where you are wrong. He just finds you out every time, right? And he's always there. I'm glad Terry is not in. Like, that's you! And she does say that all the time. And always right. But that's just not it. He's never going to help you either. He's got no power to help. He's never going to help you. All he does is, he himself is fully perfect, right? He's right all the time. Yeah, he's overbearing, and when you're wrong, he's just, there you are, that's wrong. And then he doesn't lift a finger to help you, right? And you are married to this guy, right? And you're bound to him as long as he lives. You can't get away from him, you can't get away from this system. And now Jesus says that the law will never pass away. As long as heaven and earth endure, the law will never pass away. So that's good news. Apparently, this husband is fault-finding, always right, will never help you, and will never going to die. Yeah, happy marriage! Enjoy. And that's the law. But Jesus is talking about something else here. He said, now you died. That's interesting. You died to the law when Christ died on the cross. Is that interesting? We died. Who's ready to die? And the truth is, we do need to completely die. As long as we still want to hold on to our life, hold on to ourselves, and which we do want to do, we're actually still under this old power, because legally we then can't get out of it. Unless you are now in Christ Jesus, you are under the law. To be honest, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you are under the law, whether you know it or not, whether you think you are or not. Paul says the law is good and right, it's spiritual. Paul also says it applies to everyone. He says it applies to the one that was given, to the Jews. In other places, it says the law was given for the unbelievers, for the ungodly, for the immoral, for the adulterers. So it's given for all the people who don't know God. Right now, everyone who's walking this earth without Jesus, they're under the law, just like these dark clouds in England never leave. The law never leaves. The power of the law never goes. And you can think what the heck you like. You can be condemned by it, convicted by it. You're still under it. You can be not bothered about it. You can just laugh at God's face and live a life of pleasure and free will and whatever. You're still under the law. You're going to meet the law. You're going to meet the wrath of God. That's the destination. You're married. It's just this law is also enforced. Any law has to be enforced. And to be honest, we all know the law. As he talks here, he says, so who you who know the law, which is actually us, we know the law, and to a degree we love it. To a degree it's actually right, isn't it? It's good there's a law, and it's good there's police and the power to enforce it. Otherwise I'd be popping myself, and I am already. And think about the camp of Israelites. There's 2 billion people, right, who are quite immature, end up in a desert. Imagine they had no law. Everyone does what the heck they like. I'd be absolutely scared, wouldn't you? But then comes the law, right? If you're a false witness, then do to him as he falsely witnessed to the other one. That's really just, isn't it? Wouldn't you be sad to know that people will actually be speaking the truth and understand, or else? Or if you happen to sleep with a girl because you couldn't control yourself, you were going to have to marry that girl. That's a good law, isn't it? No broken heart, no just following your own lust and doing what the heck you like, damaging other women, girls. No, actually, now you've done that, you're married. And the law of Moses permitted divorce with a letter. But it says there, if you sleep with a virgin before she was married, you're never allowed to divorce her. Is that interesting? That's an awesome law, isn't it? Yeah, you can divorce someone you've kind of married in the right way, but if you've raped someone or slept with someone before marriage, actually, now you're going to have to be with this girl and take care of her for the rest of her life. She's in your household. You're going to have to take care of the child that was born. Good laws, aren't they? Aren't they good? And the law of God goes in incredible depth, actually, in goodness, in care and nurture. But absolutely, the law is awesome. The law is good. There's only one problem. It cannot help us at all. There's no power in the law to help us, because there's something wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with the law. There's something incredibly wrong with us. Now this law comes, something happens, there's a bias in us that just wants to do the opposite straight away. There's a power in it. It's like we're bound to this thing. You know, yesterday night I was trying to do my preach, but then you always like think, I should go and help Taylor with the kids to bed, because Taylor's getting stressed. And when she's stressed, I haven't got peace anyway, so we'll go and help with just get Annabelle to sleep. And then I'm helping get Martha to sleep. And then I'm helping Evelyn to sleep. And then it's like 9:30, and I'm going to go to sleep. But when I was putting Annabelle to sleep, she's dead cute, you know, she's like dead hyper in the bed. And she just drops like that 1 second, she's sleeping. Martha's like dead calm, but she takes hours and hours to fall asleep. It's like so different. And she will never let you go. No, you don't go. Anyways, torture 11th. But Annabelle had this little scarf, and she was like, trying to bind my hands with it for a laugh, this little scarf in the bed she was playing with. And she would bound my hand dead loose, you know, and be dead proud about it. And I would just go, whoo, and it falls off. And then she goes, you do me now. So I get like one-handed, tied around her wrist and go, whick, and she's like stuck, you know. But I used to think it's like, that used to be me, you know. That used to be the power of sin. I was like Annabelle, and sin was like me. You know, you always had the power. Just go. And I was No matter how you try, no matter what you do, no matter how much you promise to do the right thing and make it all work in your mind and kind of, you just always, you know, sin in us is stronger. It's just got the power over us. And but actually now, in grace and in Jesus, you walk with Jesus, you walk with the Holy Spirit, and you keep on dying, and the Holy Spirit's strength increases in you. It's the opposite. You become like that strong man, you know. And sin is like little animal who comes. See you later. It's true. It's possible with the Holy Spirit. Considering we die, considering we let ourselves completely die. I was just praying with a friend some time ago, and he was going through some dying, and he was, you know, trying to work it out and going through different stuff. And while we were praying together, he just said something that was funny. He said, "Oh Lord, don't let me completely die." And I thought, sometimes it is the other way, really. I think he's going to have to completely die, really. But it's like that with dying. You just don't want to completely die. Who wants to die? That's, you know, what Stuart was sharing about the criminal on the cross. It's very good, actually, that. You know, he's met Jesus, and he's going to have to trust in him, but now he's going to have to die. Jesus has already died. It's probably closer now than ever that Jesus has died. And then he's hanging on his hands. He's going to have faith now in Jesus. He's slipping. His life is slipping. His legs are about to be broken. He's going to be choking in his own blood. And he's going to die. Imagine the trust he's going to have. Imagine the next moment when he does finally... It looks terrible, you know. You can imagine it looks terrible. It looks funny when I do it. It would look terrible if you saw that happen. Dying never looks good. I don't know. You always think like, oh, I've died so much and I've been so broken, but sometimes we don't realize how broken we do really need to get before it's... Because actually what it comes down to is faith. By faith you are saved, by faith in Jesus. And to place your faith in Jesus, it's going to have to be everything on him. It's not the cliche. It's not the little thought power that saves you. It's putting everything you are, your life, hanging on Jesus. And then letting go. It's like when one of my kids, they always try to hang on me all the time, around my legs, or Annabelle just grabs my fingers and never lets go. Who's trying to shake them off, you know? And then they climb and climb on my neck and hold on my neck. And the way I get rid of them now is like, I just let go of them. And then they're hanging on my neck and they're falling. And they're like, "Dad, Dad!" And I'm just like, "You started it." This tanky hanging around my neck. "Dad, Dad, I'm gonna fall." "Yeah, you are." And finally, after a while, they like slip. And then I catch them and put them down and walk off. But there's that dying, you know, as a Christian, it's like, you're holding on, you know. And actually, the Holy Spirit is there to help you die. His purpose when he comes into your life is then to help you die so that he could fully live in you. So he's like putting a bit of oil on your fingers. It feels like that sometimes. You're holding on to this rope and you feel, "I'm going to fall." You try to hold on. It's like, "God, what are you doing?" God is putting oil on your fingers. "You're going to have to fall, friend." And then there's this falling, you're free falling. I mean, you're going to die now. Is he going to catch me? And you wish you could escape it. You wish you could just live a nice Christian life. But this is going to have to happen. And as we go through this life, these moments come when we die. And you think you're going to die. And something in you dies. But actually what you realize is something died and I'm different. I am the new me I was meant to be. Over time, you realize whatever had power over me now has less power over me. As you keep following him, keep letting him empty you, keep letting him let you die, you realize actually you become alive. You realize the habits that have been following you all your life, always there, their strength, because you're dead to it. Probably must have been preached last week in Romans 6 about being dead to sin. It says it all over again. You know, we were dead to sin. We were dead to sin. Yeah, you become dead to sin. That's the only way. You can't live and love everything in this world and follow Christ, because then you are alive. You're still under the power that this world has. And actually, then you go back under the bit of a cloud of the law, and then you're under the bondage again of trying to do it yourself, and there's no harm for you, actually. You say, when it says that sometimes we look for the superficial fix from God, you know, we only look at the dross on the surface and think, take that away, you know. There's a deeper root of your sin. You gotta have to, you gotta see it, that actually the sin is so deep in you that the depth of where it comes is the problem. Not that I fell a little bit today and I watched something dodgy again, or fell into the habit, or I wasn't gonna go on Facebook again, whatever it is, I don't know. That's just the surface. There's an underlying that we don't want to admit, that every inclination of my thought of my heart has been evil since I was born. The flood is my fault. Actually, you know, when Jesus said Satan is coming and he's got nothing on me, because Jesus was totally pure. But Satan's got something on me, because I'm not. Even the good things I've done, if Satan was started to write them out, he'd find a way to show that even the good things I've done in some way selfishly, deep down. All the money I've given to charity, I might have actually done in fear or trying to please the crowd, look good. I wasn't actually been loving. Even the way I think I love my kids, the devil would show and write the list against me that would show that actually how many times I've misled them and abandoned them for my own selfish reasons, when I should have been there for them and I've just been browsing on eBay with the cheapest price for the next thing I want to buy for hours with the kids that are stressing. And he could find loads of things against me just this morning. But actually, we are utterly beyond rescue ourselves. And God wants to do something very, very deep inside. Reverse that process in the very depths of your heart, where the deep death happens in you to God, and something starts to grow. New desires start to grow. Jesus said, living waters will grow out of the belly of your heart. New desires will start to grow out, and you just cannot enjoy what you enjoyed before. You cannot walk in the darkness you were so comfortable in before. It starts to happen from the inside. Malachi says that when Jesus comes, who will be able to stand him? For he will be like a refiner of silver and bleacher of clothes. Who can stand him when he comes? Jesus. He will purify the Levites, his people. And you know, when they refine silver, he heats it and heats it and heats it. And the dross comes to the surface. And we can worry about the dross so much. But actually, he's heating us from the inside. He's not bothered about the dross. No, he's dealing with you way deeper. He's dealing you with the surrender issue you have around that thing. It takes so long sometimes to understand it. Are you worried about the trust? No, look at the trust again. I'm just full of trust. Yeah, but look what I'm doing inside. Look at the heat of the metal. We're burning you and heating you. You are changing, my son. You are changing, my daughter. He heats us and he wipes away the dross easily. Heats you again. About 7 times the silver needs to be. Heat it again. You all know this. It's famous in the Bible. And then the silver has to become so shiny that it reflects the person that's working with it. So when the smith sees his own face in the silver, he goes, okay, pure, finally, when we reflect Jesus more and more. And this dying is obviously a process. We might never get fully dead, but it's a beautiful thing when it happens. Embrace it! And the more dead you are, the more free you are for God. And when a man or a woman sets on this journey to break into God, you know, they will take every opportunity that God provides for them to die. Just take a hold of it, because that will break you into God more. And I was quite hopeless myself, actually. My Christianity and how I grew up was quite in bits and broken throughout life for various reasons, partly because I couldn't figure all this out. And And obviously, there's a new attack on this generation through the internet and through the social media. It's like one of these beasts that's come out of the sea in the prophets of the Revelation that so quickly devours the people that no one can do anything about it. No one's got the wisdom to handle this knowledge or this information. And it's been thrown over all over the generation, and from whatever age, been thrown at them. No one actually knows what to do with it. Everyone, work out for yourself. How do you manage your own ambitions and evil desires in the midst of this kind of pool of ocean of the internet? And when the glory of this world and the glamour of this world is not just near, it's just put on drugs for you, and it's everywhere. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit at a young age, and I was saved, but I still went through a heck of a lot of sin, a harvest of sin, and a harvest of fall. Doesn't mean I wasn't saved. Doesn't mean I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I was. I definitely was. People throw out different theologies around it that, oh, you weren't saved until you properly overcome sin. I don't believe that because I'm sure I was saved. But I know God was working with me all this time. And I was like the little baby, always empowered by sin. And I couldn't understand what does it mean that Jesus sets you free. I got no power. But I know that God has an answer for every generation. And God's grace is real and it works. And where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And all the sin that the devil has dumped in my life, the things that I've seen that I should never have seen when I was maybe 11 or 7, the first horror films I saw that were terrible when I was just a kid, I never should have seen them. But where sin abounds, grace of God abounds all the more. He's Jesus, he's the Lion of Judah, and he will fight for me, he will fight for you and your children, because grace always wins, the grace and love of Jesus. Where the law couldn't help you, Jesus said, I will send you one who will help you. I will send you a helper. He's not like the first husband who will never lift a finger to be with you. Whenever you lift a finger, he will lift it with you. That's the point. Whenever you write, I'm going to fight now. He goes, yes, finally, come on then, let's fight. And he empowers you every step. To be honest, you do need to take the first step with Jesus. You need to get real with him. You do need to cut off your hands and go for Jesus. And then he just comes and helps you, which the law never did. The law would say, you've done 2 steps, you promised to do 10. Jesus would say, you've done 2 steps. Keep going. And when he falls, he just washes away the trust. Jesus said, forgive how many times a day? 7 times 77, the gospel says. How many times do you think he will have to forgive you if you put this commandment on you? I think Jesus would not ask you to do more than he would do for you. He will forgive you more than 7 times 77 a day. As long as you keep going with him. You take the first step, God, I can't keep going. But actually you can. And then the Holy Spirit comes in you. You say, whoa, I'm going. Do it broken. Yeah? Do it broken. Because the Holy Spirit is with you and in you. And he's mightily powerful. And he's going to overcome this monster of this culture. He will. Jesus always does. This might be the last battle. It's going to be glorious. But God's going to do something in our time. We don't know what it's going to be like. It's not going to be like the old waves. All the books and the great things God's done so far are stepping stones towards it. But whatever's going to come is going to be something new. The outpouring of the last days that will be for the children and for everyone is going to be something we don't know yet. But it's coming. God's going to overthrow the Antichrist and the beast and the monsters by the breath of his mouth, by the preaching we do and the testifying of the saints. I believe there'll be young people testifying about Jesus powerfully, and it's going to cause a chain reaction that will just throw this statue to pieces. So God's on the move. So I encourage you, die and take the step. And this process is real. I remember when and sometimes the Holy Spirit works. You know, because the purpose for here is that we will then be free to bear fruit for God. We actually will bear fruit for him. That's the purpose of Jesus still. The purpose actually is the same. that the law was meant to do, make you be good. It's the purpose of Jesus, the same is the living law, but he will make you good. He will then make you bear fruit. And you see it happen and you'll be in tears. How can this be through this love? But the purpose is the same. Jesus will set you free from the power of sin. And sometimes it's like a very, with the Holy Spirit, it's a very fine wrestle over things. I've said it in myself over and over and over again. And these things are so important to go through. But while you're in them, they're quite funny, actually, because you can't see it. You know, it's in the Bible study, Martin's talking about the patriarchs as the Trinity. Where God says all over and over again, you know, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That Abraham is obviously the father, obviously. And Isaac is obviously the son who's going to be sacrificed. And then Jacob is the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, and he says it over and over again, them three. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob is like the Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit works with his life. It's a bit of a mess. He gets God, he gets the promise, he gets the anointing, but he cons his brother, you know. He cons his father. It's a bit of a hard work. He gets conned himself. His life is a bit of a mess. He's terrified of his brother now, who is conned, to go back. Everything is just thrown in the air. And then he meets God, possibly then in the form of the Holy Spirit, who wrestles him. Is that interesting? He wrestles him. Because that's what the Holy Spirit often does with us. He just kind of, go on then, with the desires of your heart. Let's have a wrestle. And I experienced one of these wrestles. You know, like, when I came to this country, I was petrified of some things and actually self-pityish about some things. One of them was like money. And as an Estonian, I had a bit of poverty mentality. I believed that I should get things because I don't have them for people who have them. And I thought that England is a very rich country. I didn't think that really. I think it now. But I just had this sense that, you know, I just didn't trust God fully as I should have. And I was insecure about money and fearful. And I was thinking, why don't other Christians bless me, basically? Why don't other Christians give me what I deserve? Why don't I get what I deserve? And I couldn't trust God. I was petrified, actually, of finances. It's a beast, you know, the tackle, actually. Often for husbands and when you're in charge of your family, it's a beast to tackle sometimes. And the Holy Spirit started wrestling with me. Ha! And I was in desperate need for a car. Because my car broke down. I had this green Vauxhall, I had it for a year about, and the engine just exploded, one of the pistons or whatever, the things that move around really quickly, jammed and whatever. So I had it fixed for 500 quid while I was just starting my business, and I finally got this job, you know, that was going to bring me a grand in, and, you know, it was loads of money for me then, and it was like doing this garden for someone. I was doing it with Laurie, I think, and it was hard work, you know, doing this garden for a couple of weeks, working and figuring it out and doing it with all of my heart. And then my car broke and I had to spend 500 quid. And I was like, goodness me, do the math in your head. Oh, no, I'm only earning 500. Do you know that feeling? And you're like, oh, Lord, why? And I get the car fixed and then start driving it and it doesn't work. Loads of white smoke coming out. And I'm starting to think, what the heck's going on? Why doesn't it work? What do I do now? Try to call the company. And say, oh, something's happened. Drive it for a while. One of the piston rings is jammed. Just give it a bit of gas. It'll unjam. It obviously did it unjam. And then I'm thinking what to do, browsing online. What's the fault? Doing it all in my own strength. You've been there, haven't you? What should I do? What should I do? Oh, I better get a new engine. I'll get a new engine, you know. I can buy it for 250, and I spent 250 to fit it in. So I spent another 500 quid, and then I have a new engine. And people say, oh, yeah, it's like getting a brand new car. You know, change the engine, you get a brand new car. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do that. And obviously, I do that. I put the new engine in, and I get a call from the engine. We put the new engine in, but the engine is rubbish, you know. Whatever they sent you is full of white gunk, and it's terrible, you know, the engines. What they've sent you from whatever parts online company is rubbish. And now I'm with the parts company. You sent me a rubbish engine. And I'm like, totally, it's under my skin, you know. I'm angry. I've got no faith. I'm angry. I'm totally confused. What's going on, Lord? And then finally, you know, I threatened the company. And they're right, I'm going to go behind you and I'm going to whatever warranty stuff, I'm going to get you. You're going to have to send me a new engine. And then being funny, and finally send me a new engine. And Andrew Newlove comes from the Philippines and he's like, I'll bless you, I'll put this engine in. So he puts this engine in for me. It doesn't work. But you know, it's leaking coolant into the gasket, through the gasket or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to sell it and whatever, you know. Bless Andrew, did it for free, you know. I think we later sent him a dollop of money to the transfer, you know, kind of bless him. We did it for free, didn't work, you know. Car didn't work again. Got it fixed, new engine, still doesn't work. Then I'm trying to sell it on eBay. Get as much as you get for it, you know. And I'm like contesting, how much should I put in for what's wrong with it? Should I say everything or should I not? Or just try to go around and not say exactly what's wrong. And then I found this miracle thing you put in the coolant system and then it kind of should block the leak. So I put this in and it kind of blocks the leak, I think, and then didn't mention it at all. Totally corrupt, you know. Put this on eBay, yeah. It's fine, it drives, bit of a scuffs and marks here and there. And the buyer buys you for like 256, and I'm like, okay, 256. I spent $1,000 already, I never see. And then the buyer doesn't show up, doesn't turn up. And then I put it back on. This time I get 180 something, and the buyer doesn't turn up. And I'm like, oh, finally someone buys it for 100. Could have taken it to scrap, you know, in the first place. Talk about wrestling with the Holy Spirit, you know. And there was someone in the church who had like a brand new car that they didn't need. And I was like, why don't they give it to me? Why don't they give it to me, Lord? Why don't they give it to me? But see how hard it is to see it when you're in something, when you're in this contesting period, but it's exhausting. And that's the good thing, it is exhausting. By the end of it, you're like, Lord, I'm exhausted of this. Will you have your way? Can you just give me a new car? Can you just help me? Of course I can. Just trust me and do it right. But this contesting always takes so hard to die. Should I now put it on eBay? Should I now do this? Maybe you're in this contesting period, you're still clunking the numbers of dying, and you still, Jesus said, you know, calculate the cost before you build, or Paul or someone said. Maybe you're still calculating the cost forever. But actually, there comes a point where you can't trust him too much. What's the right thing? What's the right thing to do? How much should I keep? Just let it all go. Slip, fall. The best thing will ever happen to you. Let the Holy Spirit live. And then I read from Haggai, you know, after all this, you know, you work hard, you do all this, but you put your money in buckets filled with holes. Remember, fruits preached in this. I go, yeah, that's me. I harvest and gather nothing and I do all this. And why is this happening to me? You're putting all the money in the pockets filled with holes. Got my first job, got my grand, and it's all gone. The pockets filled of holes. And then the Holy Spirit shows the reason, you know. Because your heart's in the wrong place. Because your heart is in yourself. Your heart is providing everything for yourself, working yourself out. Your family is suffering. You know, you're chasing your ego. And that's the problem why this is happening. Put your heart right and you'll feel the blessing come back. So shall we stand and pray? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you're with us and for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, if whatever you're doing in this room today, Lord, pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would now finish the job in our hearts. And if you want to surrender or die in something, you can come forward and do it as a step to die. Maybe, you know, you've been just wandering around this world. Maybe you're just married to the world. You know, the Bible says that a widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Maybe you're that widow. You know, you're dead because you're a widow because the world that you're married to is dead. You so want something out of this world. You want something exciting seems to be out there. You want it, but it's all dead. And actually, you're a widow and you live for pleasure and now you're dead as well. And maybe you just, you know, you feel like you're wasting your life. You just sit in your bedroom. You feel aimless. Well, maybe this morning you just want to take the curtains off your bedroom and just let this world die, because you know this world is going to die anyways. in Revelation is a mighty picture of Babylon falling. And it's going to fall, all right? This luxury and glamour and the power and the merchants of this world will all fall like a mighty, mighty millstone that's landed in the ocean. And you can die to it all right now. If you want to just surrender this morning. Because then the Holy Spirit will resurrect you. He will lift you up and rebuild you. To trust him that he is the life-giving power. He's the one that smashes all the idols. He's the one that binds Satan for you. And invite the Holy Spirit into your heart afresh. And say, Lord, I want to die. I want to die to my old sinful nature. I want to die to my ego. I want to die to my love for this world, for my love for myself. I'm just tired of it. I've seen enough. I want to have a new day. I want to know, Holy Spirit, what you're doing in the world now, and I want to do it with you. Where can I start? There's a sea of hungry people around us, sea of desolate children who need older brothers, older sisters. Will you get to work with the Holy Spirit? Because he's got lots of jobs for you. There's a sea of empty people, lost and broken. The Holy Spirit wants to raise up mothers and fathers for this generation. Do you want to get to work with him? The best thing you can do is give yourself to him first. So if anyone else still wants to come forward, you've had enough. You want to explode like a volcano. There's always a pressure issue with a volcano. It's either going to explode or not. There's pressure coming from the inside, and there's a crust on the top that holds it back. And it's the crust of unbelief, the crust of our self-will. But this morning, maybe you want to have enough. Maybe you're in a place where this explosion, eruption can happen in your life. I'm done with unbelief. I'm done with myself. I want to see something happen for the Lord. Let it explode now in Jesus' name in your life. Let the eruption of faith come. Let the eruption of the power of God come in your life, because it is there for those who seek it. We receive you, Holy Spirit, afresh. We receive your love and your power. We deny you, Satan, and your evil ways. We want to die to this world. We want to live for your glory, Jesus, for your resurrection power, Lord. Fill us again, Lord, with your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.